This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 115. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show about everything to do with fantasy and sometimes sci-fi books. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, space opera, pure sci-fi, you name it, we bring you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the book world here on the show. Kicking off things this week, I'm deep into writing the first draft of my next book, Huntress Defender. It's the sixth book in the Huntress Clan Saga series, and I'll be wrapping up a lot of loose ends with this story. It makes it a lot of fun, but also a little terrifying sometimes to write because of tying up all those threads to make the story come together. Anyway, I'll keep you up to date on how that process goes here on the show. Also, we're still looking forward to the release of Huntress Clan Saga Book 5, which is Huntress Adept, and that will be out very soon, coming up here in the beginning of July. Anyway, I'll keep you up to date and let you know. And if you haven't picked up the first book in the series, you might want to check that out. Huntress Initiate is out now, including the new audiobook version, so you ought to check that out if you like audiobooks. It's a good time to do that. You can check out more information about everything I'm up to, including sneak peeks of upcoming covers, special giveaways, and a lot more. Just visit my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, over at my website and blog as well, jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I have contact form over there, so you can always reach me or leave a comment in the group and reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead with today's interview. Darian Smith is on the show. Darian writes mainly speculative fiction, fantasy, of course, and lives in Auckland, New Zealand with his wife, who also writes. They also have a black cat who doesn't write, and by day, he works with people living with neuromuscular conditions. He's been lucky enough to have his writing win two Koro Awards, the Special Fiction New Zealand Steam Press Manuscript Competition, a Sir Julius Vogel Award, and assorted short story competitions. Darian is qualified as a family counselor and therapist, and has used this knowledge of psychology to create a resource for writers on developing characters and conflict in their fiction. He can also be seen by those with very swift eyes, or the pause button, on television shows such as Legend of the Seeker and Spartacus, where he is invariably a henchman of some kind and is most easily recognized on screen while being murdered by Spartacus. Check out his chat with Darian, where we take a look at his book, Kalanon's Rising. Hi, Darian. Welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great to have you on the show today.
Hi there. It's really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience of ravenous fantasy readers and let them know who you are.
So I'm a, strangely enough, a writer of fantasy fiction. Who would have thought, given the...
Goodness gracious, I stumbled on it the right time this time.
I know. I'm based in New Zealand, so you might have noticed a bit of an accent. And I write, mostly at the moment, I'm working on a series of what I describe as being murder mysteries in a fantasy world. So kind of CSI, but with swords and magic. So it's a lot of fun.
That actually sounds amazing. And I noticed here your wife is also a writer. What does she write?
She is, yes. So she writes contemporary romance. So there's a bit of difference there, but a bit of overlap. And it's quite fun because we get the chance to bounce ideas off each other. But because we're working in different genres, we often joke that she's constantly trying to get my characters to marry each other, and I'm constantly trying to kill hers.
That's actually, you know, it's funny how that works. My wife isn't a writer, but she is my like alpha reader, I call her. And she's always like telling me I need more romance in my books. You know, she's like, you need something. They need a romantic interest. They don't have to get married. They don't have to be any sex. They just have to be like interested in each other. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. You know, that's part of the human experience.
It is.
And that's what we're writing. So I did actually write a book which does kind of fit in the paranormal romance category, I guess, urban fantasy paranormal romance sort of thing, set in a haunted house in New Zealand. And I was lucky enough to win an award here for that, which was really cool. But I found the romance part of it quite difficult. So I was very, very fortunate that I had my wife to go to when I was struggling with the relationship-y parts of that book and go, why can I not just blow stuff up or something and have her to be able to talk me back down?
You know, it's amazing any of us had women actually be interested in us at all.
Right?
I've been married for, it's going to be 30 years this year, and I am like still astounded that my wife is there every day when I wake up. I just... Maybe that's the secret.
We must be offering something. I don't know what.
So let's talk about this series, The Agents of Kalanon. It just sounds fascinating, the idea of combining like a murder mystery with epic fantasy setting. And I love that whole concept of like CSI, but with swords and magic. Tell us a little bit about how that idea popped into your head. Was it just an aha moment one day, or is this something that's been cooking for a while?
It kind of was an aha moment, actually. I mean, I'm a big fan of those kinds of murder mystery TV shows. So, you know, I was watching a lot of CSI, even back to, you know, Murder, She Wrote. I watched that as a kid. And so I've always kind of enjoyed that murder mystery structure. But in terms of reading, I love fantasy. I love to read fantasy. I like having magic and stuff. And I was working on a different project, which had taken me years and years and years. It was my second attempt at writing a book, and it's not yet been published, and Lord knows if it ever will. But I'd promised myself that I had to finish it by the end of the year, or I would have to write something completely different in a completely different world. And it just so happened, I guess my subconscious was working on what that might be. And I went for a walk one day, and this notion popped into my head basically a forensic team of people. But what would that look like in a fantasy world where, you know, their expertise might be different forms of magic or alchemy or, you know, those kinds of things? And how could I make that work? Some of the book takes the structure of that traditional murder mystery thing. Like there's a prologue where, you know, every cop show starts with that pre-credit scene, the little teaser where you see somebody who's going to either find a body or become a body. So I have that prologue in the books as well. And then blending those two genres has been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, that whole police procedural kind of feel is a tried and true way of presenting that type of crime story. But to do it in this setting, it almost, you know, it's funny doing it in a medieval fantasy setting. It kind of reminds me, and I don't know if you're familiar with either the book or the movie, The Name of the Rose, which is a set in medieval Spain, I believe, where two monks investigate a murder. And it's just fascinating to see the same tropes, the same kind of things that you'd see in a Sherlock Holmes story or a modern New York City crime drama, but in a castle or in a monastery, or, you know, it's just fascinating.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's kind of fun. And of course you can't necessarily do things like, you know, DNA tests or fingerprinting, but it's figuring out what are the other clues that you have to work with. And in a fantasy setting, what are the magical clues that you might be able to do, or the magical tests that you might be able to do that might give some hint as to who done it. So there's some fun to play with there.
Well, and I noticed that you have listed like some of the people that end up helping out the main character, Sir Brannan Kesh. You have a vain mage, a socially awkward priest, and a corpse animated shaman. I mean, what better way to find the killer than to bring the corpse back to life?
I know, right? I did have to put a little bit of a caveat on the reanimation thing. So it's a tiny, tiny spoiler, but not really. The way that particular magic works is it's not really the person being brought back from the dead. It's something else being put into that body that has limited access to that person's memories, but not enough that you could figure out who done it. I had to put some restrictions on that. Otherwise, it's going to be a really short story once she arrives.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've seen something similar to that, like in other stories where, you know, they've tried to find out who killed someone and they bring the person back. And there's always something like, you know, it was such a traumatic experience that it's normal for them to just black out and don't remember whole sections of the moments before their death. And, you know, so then you're piecing together cryptic clues of, well, I heard boots scraping on the pavement or something, you know, and it's
exactly, yeah. And the thing that's animating the bodies in this series is a malevolent creature that isn't necessarily wanting to be that helpful anyway, so you can't always trust what they say when they're being brought back.
That just sounds fascinating. And there's two books in this series right now, is that correct?
Yeah, two are out at the moment. I'm working, and I've been promising that book three is coming for a long time now, but it really is coming. It should be out pretty soon. And I've got a loose plan for six in the series, with what I'm envisaging as being the overarching story. So each book is its own self-contained mystery or a couple of mysteries that gets resolved at the end. But there's a bit of an overarching story through the series as well, which I'm envisaging taking about six books to reach a climax.
Cool. And so Sir Brannon is the main character throughout it all.
He is. Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That, you know, I have to dig into this. I didn't have a chance to get a hold of it and read it ahead of time, but it is really intriguing me to kind of, I love a good murder mystery. I'm a big fan of Sherlock Holmes stories, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it just seems like this would be a lot of fun to read. And I'm obsessed with like the Law and Order shows and CSI and all those things. So I'm going to have to dig into this.
Yeah, definitely. If you love those shows and you love fantasy, yeah, this is a good mashup. I feel like it's a good mashup. I'm enjoying it.
So I know you have some other things going on. You mentioned briefly that you had this the book that was what, A Currents of Change, I guess it was.
Yeah, that's the one that's set in a haunted house in New Zealand. So that one is kind of a paranormal romance, urban fantasy kind of a thing. And it's a woman basically escaping from an abusive relationship. So that's how it starts. And she goes to this old house, which has been in her family for generations, to be kind of her hideout. But when she gets there, she discovers a lot of stuff about her family history and the town that she really didn't know. And there's a ghost in the house and some very mysterious things that are happening. And I've had a bit of fun blending the local New Zealand kind of mythology with some sort of immigrant mythology from when her family came to the country way back in the day and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that was quite a fun story to write as well.
That sounds fun because I know like here in the States, I like to write and bring in, like, I write a lot of urban fantasy, and I like to bring in elements of Native American culture and their myths and legends and mystical creatures and things into my stories as the spirits that live here, who are constantly kind of, not at war, but, you know, there's tension between them and the spirits that came over from Europe, just like the Native Americans have tensions with the people that came from Europe. So how does that work in New Zealand? I mean, I'm sure there's quite a rich mythology there too.
Oh, there is. Yeah. There's is an incredibly rich Maori mythology to draw from here. And I think, you know, like everywhere at the moment, you know, we're conscious of, you know, not offending people and that sort of thing. But also, you know, if when you're from a place that it has this, you know, everywhere around me is part of the New Zealand fabric, and it's part of who I am and where I am. It's wonderful to be able to draw on that to tell stories.
It's funny. My daughter and her fiance play rugby, and they're huge fans of New Zealand's team. And just, you know, they talk about it all the time. And I guess they start the match with the haka, and, you know,
that just,
I've seen it a couple of times. They've played me some YouTube videos of the beginning of, and I'm just like, that's just terrifying. I mean, I know it's a game, but that's just terrifying.
Yeah, I think we're so kind of used to it here that, you know, it's just part of the culture that we've absorbed. But I think if you're new to it, it would be a bit intimidating.
It's just so cool. I mean, and I think, you know, we all need those unique things to our culture and our countries, and that, you know, that give us pride and make us different from everybody in smaller ways, really, when you look at the big picture. But it's also an important way to distinguish. And I think you're the third author from New Zealand I've had on the show. And it's just every time I've kind of really been intrigued, because New Zealand's, you know, population wise, a small country, but it is, you know, it's got the kind of this mystique, I think, here to people from the United States.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I think New Zealand, we just recently hit 5 million people, apparently. So that's our current population. But yeah, we do have kind of this, I want to say reputation, but certainly attitude that we can punch above our weight in terms of the number of people and what we can do on a world scale. We like to be noticed out there in the world and show what we can do, I think. You know, you get your Peter Jackson and your Lord of the Rings and all of that sort of stuff. And we're like, yeah, we did that. We did that. That was us.
And you deserve every bit of that. That is just, I mean, the way that showcased the country and the diversity of landscapes and things that you could find there was just astounding to me. It's on my definite bucket list to travel to New Zealand at some point. Not just for the Lord of the Rings kind of quote unquote tour, but really just to really soak it all in, because it just looks gorgeous.
We're pretty lucky to be here, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of, as you say, a lot of variety in our scenery and a lot of beauty. Yeah.
So I noticed that you also do some work or have done some work helping writers kind of explore the psychology of their characters. And this is something I've started really working on with my stories, is to kind of, you know, have really understand more of the underlying personality traits of my characters. And I've used different tools over the last year or so. Most recently, I did a quick course in the Enneagram process, and that was fun. Just taking my characters and trying to take that test in through their eyes, and was eye opening to me, because I was like, oh, this all makes so much sense. Tell me a little bit about how writers kind of miss the mark. What's the most common thing they do in your mind that they need to maybe try to pay a little more attention to when building a character?
I think to me, it almost doesn't matter how you arrive at it, but for me, because of I've come from a psychology counseling background, so that's sort of how I do it. But I think it is, you know, looking at that need to make sure that your characters are fully fleshed out and fully rounded. And, you know, that's where some characters do fall down, is, you know, that almost laziness when you're writing, and it's, you want to get on to the next exciting bit or whatever. And so you just kind of start throwing characters at the page without stopping to really think about, you know, where they're coming from and what does that mean and how would that affect them and all that kind of deeper level stuff. And like we don't have to be over the top about it, but it definitely helps to take your time and actually go, okay, who is this character? And yeah, as you're saying, do some kind of test with it, or just work through some kind of process, not just what does this character look like and a couple of basic traits, but, you know, where did they grow up? How did they grow up? What kind of messages did they get from their parents? How do they think about themselves? How do they think about the world? How do they think about other people? All of that kind of stuff, I feel, becomes really important and is a hugely rich source of information, not just about the character and how they behave, but then also about the plot and how the story then evolves from who they are as a person. So there's a lot to work with when you start digging into that.
Yeah, the series I'm writing right now is an urban fantasy with a young female protagonist, and she was raised in foster care. So, you know, when I started thinking about what that meant for her, it was like, you know, her whole life is just a search for having a family. And so everything she does, I ask that question. Is this, you know, how would she react to this person saying this to her? Does this further her ability to build a family around herself, or does it not? And how would she respond to somebody trying to take something away from her? Or how does she respond when she finds someone who's also searching for a family? And it's changed the way I write, because I think a lot more about the reactions. I think you're right on there.
And it will shift the story completely, because, you know, suddenly you've got a character who won't necessarily take one choice, but will take the other choice because of those internal motivations and you know, childhood wounding that she's had. Then you can go to really interesting places that you might not have otherwise thought of in the story.
Yeah,
and it will make a lot more sense to the reader.
It does. And you know, I had a recent scene I wrote that she would have, I think in past stories I've written, she just would have gone in and killed the bad guy, right? You know, killed the creature in the scene. But when I started thinking about, well, why is this creature by themselves and in this strange location? And then I was like, well, they're sad. Well, what if she notices they're sad? And, you know, turns out, you know, she has an affinity when she finds out who and what this thing is. And she doesn't kill them, and she doesn't even fight them. She finds another way to get around the situation, because she doesn't want to take away what this person has. And it changed my whole outlook on how I would have written that scene. You know, last year it would have been just a hack and slash moment in the book.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes that character more real and more human and much more relatable when you have that kind of element to them.
So you said you've got 6 books planned for Kalanon's Rising, or Agents of Kalanon book. Kalanon's Rising is book 1. And then you have Starlight's Children, book 2. You said book 3 is coming out soon?
Yeah, so book 3 will be called Battle's Legacy.
Okay.
So you may have seen book 1 has Brandon on the cover. Book 2 has Taryn, one of the other characters, on the cover. Book 3 is going to have Drayson, who is the mage. And each book, as well as having its own kind of mystery, is going to give you a little bit more about the background of a particular character. I mean, you'll get a bit more about all of them, obviously, but yeah, there'll probably be a secret or a something revealed about a particular character in each book. And so you'll see them on the cover and be like, we're going to learn something about you this book. So yeah,
awesome.
We're going to learn a little bit about Drayson in book 3.
Great. And you said that's coming out soon. You're thinking by the end of the summer, end of the year. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm aiming for middle of this year.
Awesome.
That's the idea there. When you say end of the summer, I'm trying to figure out where.
Oh, end of the winter, I guess, for you. So yeah, at the end of the end of the July, August area.
Oh, yeah.
I got to, you know, this whole Northern Hemisphere centric thing I have going on.
I know, it's so confusing.
Lastly, what's the favorite way you have for interacting with readers? You know, you've got people that probably follow your books, and you said they were asking for when the next one's coming out. How do you hear from them? What's your preferred communication method?
I'm on Facebook quite a lot, but I'm also on Twitter or Instagram, or you can even flick me an email. I don't really mind. Probably Facebook is the one that I'm easiest to find and chat to.
Awesome. Well, I will make sure we have links to that. I think you're listed under Darian Smith, author. So we will make sure there's a link to your Facebook page there, and they can find your books. You've also got some short stories, it looks like, as well, that people might want to dig into. So there's quite a bit of great content that you have available. And people should definitely dig into it. Darian, it's great having you on the program. I look forward to digging into your books. I've been looking for something a little different to read, and this is right up my alley, I think.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I hope you enjoy them. I'll look forward to hearing what you think.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focused community here on Facebook and, of course, over at fantasy-focus.com. While you're over there, leave a comment on the episode if you're on the website. You can also, of course, subscribe to the show. There are links right there below the player at the top of the screen to subscribe via your favorite mobile app on whatever device you have, iOS or Android. We have some pretty awesome authors scheduled over the next few months, and you won't want to miss the next episode where we have Alan Batchelder coming back on the podcast to talk about what he's up to. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books, my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, and of course, in my fan reader group, over at Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I do want to remind you folks to keep your eyes open because there's magic all around you.